easy is it for you to be positive in life? I mean, would you say that you're more of a positive person or more of a negative person? I saw that. You know, if you really want to know how positive or negative you are, ask your family. You know, they'll give you the straight scoop. They'll see it the way it is. They'll let you know, because, you know, many times people say, oh, I'm very positive. And if you say, you're always negative. And they say, oh, no, I'm not negative. I'm realistic. I'm realistic. You know, it's funny. I have to be honest with you. You know, going to Nautilus by the Sea at the gym, I've noticed something change. I mean, for years, you know, you'd go in there, and when you're riding on the bike or on the treadmill or whatever, you watch the TVs are off. There's only two TVs there. And it used to be that, you know, I used to laugh because it was always the news. And on one side would be Fox, and on the other side usually was MSNBC. It was kind of like you were in schizophrenia, you know. But now, if you want the truth of the matter is, when you go to Nautilus by the Sea, 9 times out of 10, the show that is most watched is Homes and Garden. You know, I wonder if that's because people are saying, I'm tired of it all. I want to be positive. And I mean, how innocuous can you get more than Homes and Gardens? You know, I mean, there's nobody that gets on the show and says, well, you know what? I hate it all. They have to have a choice. Either they're going to buy the old house or that they've just gotten taken up or get a new one. I mean, you got to have a positive in there. You know, as I looked at the gospel today, I thought about that whole sense of negative and positive, the perception that we have of the world. Because the way we perceive what's going around sometimes really does affect us. And it's not so much outside what's going on, but how we receive it on the inside. The story in the gospel is interesting because it's a story of the disciples and Jesus. This is directly before he's arrested. This is, you know, in the time when they're in Jerusalem. It's probably the third trip to Jerusalem. And Jesus is walking through the temple with his disciples. And the disciples are overwhelmed at how beautiful the building is. I mean, they're just walking. Look how gorgeous it is. Look how it's adorned for God. Isn't this wonderful? And Jesus, right out of the gate, says, you know, none of this is going to be here. You know, it's all going to be torn. Every stone's going to be torn down. He gives a prophecy. And then he says, basically, that, you know, because the people respond to him, the disciples, they say, you know, immediately, well, when's that going to happen? It's not how, it's not why, when? I want to know when, because I want to know where I need to be. And then Jesus says, well, you're going to hear of wars and insurrections, and you're going to hear of many things, but, well, that's not really when, you know, it's going to happen. But there's going to be portents from heaven, and there's going to be signs from heaven. There's going to be famines and plagues. There's going to be all this stuff. And I'm thinking, when's he going to get to the good stuff? But then he all of a sudden says something like this. Jesus says, but that's all okay. It's going to give you a chance to testify. Now, how much more positive can you get? You're going to go in and you're going to see things knocked down. You're going to see wars. You're going to see famines. You're going to see plagues. You're going to see fire from heaven, the whole nine yards. But you know what? It's all good because you know what? You're going to get a chance to testify. But don't try and prepare what you're going to say, because I'll give you exactly what you're supposed to say. Stay right where you are in the moment. And just trust in me, because I'm going to give you what you're going to do. But the truth of the matter is, some of you will die. But then again, the paradox. But not a hair on your head will perish. You know, I don't know about you, I don't have that many hairs left. And I'm less worried about me going bald than about dying. But what is he trying to get at? What's he trying to get across? You know, I really believe that what he's trying to get across is an understanding spiritually that, you know what, you can't necessarily change all the environment that goes on outside, but you can have power over the environment that's on the inside. Stay in the moment. Trust that I am with you in every moment. I will give you what you need in those moments, even when you're in front of authorities that have the power to put you to death. I'm going to be there for you, and not one hair on your head's going to perish. I'm going to get you through it. And by the endurance that you have in that persistency, not physical endurance, but spiritual endurance, you're going to save your souls. Did you ever wonder if, as you look at life today, in the stuff that it's all, in a sense, a testing ground, a school, for you to get prepared for things that are even going to be harder in your life? That as you go through the day in, day out, that when you keep a positive perspective, when you look at things that, you know, aren't really attractive in front of you, when you think like things are falling apart and the things that you, you know, relied on now are going to be gone, but when you keep a positive perspective because you're connected to the living God, that's a test right now, that's a way that you're preparing for it all. You know, the problem I think that today, at least, I don't know about for you, but for me is, you know, there's a lot of me that is more interested in trying to maintain my lifestyle than in a way my character or my identity. And I got to ask you that question, which is more important to you? Your lifestyle or your identity and your character? You know, most of us think that those two go together, but I have to tell you, they don't. Because you see, your lifestyle can be taken away from you, but your identity, if you really have it, you got it. And that identity is that identity with the living God, that God's going to be with you. Even when the things that you hold dearest to you, even when the things that you say are my certainties, you know, that sense of, I know this is right, even when they get broken down. You know, I'm always amazed at, and I've over the years have tried to break down all the things that I'm so certain of. Because when I get so certain of things, it's not the power of God that's giving me those certainties. It's my own little construed brain that has said, well, if I have this, then I'm okay, you know? Again, I'll never forget, you know, years ago, my mom moved down here from New Jersey. This was back in 1988. And, you know, it always killed me because it was the house I grew up in New Jersey. And I had all my treasures there, you know, but I moved down here in 1980. And, you know, when she moved, she was the one that packed. I didn't go up there. She went through and she threw everything out. I mean, she threw out baseball cards that I had that were like from the 1940s that were the kind that folded down. She threw out comic books that I bet you were worth, you know, I'm sure I would have had my retirement all fed up with those, you know. But one thing that she brought down with her, which, to be honest with you, I still have today, was this big metal rod that my father had that could turn the water off at the street. You know? That bar that goes up, it's got the crossbeam, it's got the little hook down there. It was one that my dad made, okay? And, you know, and I mean, because by God, you know, I can't trust the city to do it. You know, sometimes I've got to do it. Which, by the way, they don't like that very much. But she carried that all the way down from New Jersey to Florida, and it sat there. And it still sits there. I have to say, I've used it a couple of times. But I know for a fact she never turned the water off. Ever. She'd always call the city. But by God, you don't get rid of one of those things. That's certainty, isn't it? You got to have that. You know, let's put it on the line. We're all getting older. What are the things that we're carrying around that, by God, I might need it once? And you hold on to it forever? But what are you holding on in your heart that are those certainties that really aren't certainties? They aren't anything to sort of give you stability in your life. Maybe they give you a feel that you have a better lifestyle. It is Jesus, I think, is what he's saying in the scripture is, you know, look, if I'm with you, then you can look at every event in your life, no matter what the outside environment is going on, the inside environment's going to be okay. And that's the place that you ought to put your investment in. That's the place where you ought to work. It's not your lifestyle, it's your life, your spiritual life. That's really what should take more of your energy than anything outside. And then how many of us really even think about that most of the time? The Old Testament reading from Isaiah is interesting because here God gets very positive. I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to make a new Jerusalem. I'm going to bring it together. And the thing that he says the most in there is basically he says very clearly that he's going to bring it all together so that as you live, and let me read this to you. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. What he's saying, basically, he's going to break something new to where all of a sudden, if you are with him, your prayer and his will are going to be together. Before they call, I'll already answer. You see, that's the power that you have the ability to really move into. That's the environment that you can correct. That's the place where all of a sudden you can say, wait a second, I don't have to be certain. I can just know that God's with me. But to do that, I believe you have to practice in everyday life the day in, day out stuff of when things are falling apart in your life to say, okay, wait a second, where is God in the midst of all this? That God is in the midst of everything that goes on, that God never abandons you, that God will never ever leave you, that somehow, even though it seems terrible, like everything's falling apart, everything's out of control, that somehow God somehow is making something new. I'll never forget years ago getting called by a woman who, to be real honest with you, she was young, she was in her 20s at the time. She had two children. She was married to a guy that was a very successful stockbroker, great guy, and he had cancer. And he was fighting cancer and fighting it, you know what I mean? Two little boys. And I remember her calling up and she said, you know, I don't know what to think. Why does this keep going, getting worse? And I remember saying to her real clearly, I said, I don't know, let me pray about it. And I went out and prayed about it. And the only thing I heard clearly when I came back to her was that, you know, the thing I heard is, I am never a destroyer. I'm always a creator. And although I am always a creator, sometimes some things have to be moved away to create anew. Well, I ended up, her husband died. But it also ended up that a few years later, I introduced her to her new husband. By the way, he's the guy that put my hip and my knee in. And I'm still friends with them. And they had two more children and a new life. And she still misses Kurt. I've talked to her. She still misses her first husband. But life has continued. That God's been there. You see, God is always creating. He is never destroying. But to get to the new creation, sometimes old things have to pass away and new things have to come. But so many of us want to be more about change than we do transformation. In other words, we don't like change. How many people here really like change? Anybody? You know, geez, I'm looking forward to the next change we're going to have. You know? But you know what? The scripture teaches us not to go and look for change, to look for transformation. And the difference between change and transformation is real simple. Change is having one thing and then going to another. Transformation is when you go to the other, you let go of the old. You let it go. Because God is always in process. But to do that, you have to be aware that God's in your life and that he's molding and shaping you from the inside out, not from the outside in. But he uses the outside as a classroom for all of us to learn. You know, about a month ago, I'll be honest with you, I was at home and the mail came. I went out. It was a prescription that I had ordered from Express Scripts. Any of you who deal with Express Scripts will follow this. Chuck, you're right with me. And I got it in, and I saw the prescription, and I looked at it, and I mean, I've been dealing with the same prescription for 7 years. And every 3 months, because it's one where my doctor says you need 90 pills in 90 days, they only send me 24 pills. And so I'm frustrated as anything. I mean, I'm looking at it, I'm saying, well, to be honest with you, I'm saying, these people are idiots. And I'm looking down at the thing, and immediately I said, I gotta act. So I immediately get on, and I call up Express Scripts, and I'm like, give me a supervisor now. I mean, he just picked up. I mean, I'm not even talking. No, well, we need to talk to you. I'm like, you want to talk to me? I don't think you want to talk to me. And I started to, you know, explain. And at the thing, I said, you know, why is it I got 24? I've done this every 3 months. For the last 7 years, I've got to go through the prescription. You tell me, oh, well, it's not. And so, you know, she starts arguing. She goes, well, you do have a prescription, but it's for 66. I said, then figure it out. Why did you send me 24? 24 and 66 equals 9. Well, yes, that's a good point. Well, let me get it. Well, you need to go and have this other override and say, and I'm like, I've done this 3 months ago. I did this. So they give me the other person, and I'm there, and all of a sudden she goes, well, I'll call you back. Well, to tell you the truth, the next day I got, you know that one? I still got it on my phone. I'm not erasing it forever. And it says, you know, your approval for an override on the thing has been approved. There's no other action that you have to take. Okay? Now, I'm leaving for the Bahamas. This is the Thursday before I'm leaving for the Bahamas. On Friday, November 1st, after I've gotten everything, think everything's taken up, all of a sudden I get another thing saying, you've tried to renew your prescription too early. Your prescription will now be available on November 1st. And I'm like, it is November 1st. And so I just disregard it. I go away, I go to the thing. Well, I come back, and I'm thinking, well, the prescription should be there. I'm just about out. I said, well, give it another day. Give it another day. So then last Thursday, I call, and I said, what is going on here? But this time, instead of being, in a sense, reactionary, as I was in the first call, where, let's just say, I was rather unpleasant, this one I said, let me go at it a different way. I really did. And I said, I picked up and I said, look, I understand that you're just an employee, but let me explain what's gone on. And she says, it's in the pharmacy right now. I said, well, that's good, but why did it take 2 weeks? And her response was, well, we just received the prescription from the doctor and we had to wait. I said, no, you got a prescription 3 months ago. She goes, well, yeah, but your renewal for the prescription is in July, but your override is good until November. I said, so you're telling me that you never put these two together? She goes, it looks that way. You really probably need to work with your doctor to get them together. I said, that's reasonable. She said, it'll be there for you in 3 days. My response was, you know, thank you so much. Would you like to come to Thanksgiving dinner? She laughed, and I said, really, only kidding. But I didn't go away frustrated. And you can ask Sally, who's here this morning, you know, for 3 days I was frustrated on the first call. But this time, I took it in a different way because, to tell you the truth, I entered in from a positive perspective, not from a negative perspective. And I believe without a shadow of doubt, if God leads us into all things, then he leads us in with a positive perspective. That even if things seem to be falling apart from the perspective of how we think they should run, that somehow in the midst of it, even though it may be inane and boring, somehow he's leading us into life. That somehow there is a lesson within the midst of it that I don't know how Express Scripts going to translate into other dealings that I have with people, but I really do believe that somehow it made me come at things from a different perspective, and I believe it teaches each one of us in those kind of situations to enter into something more positively than negatively. I've never in my life seen where I've gotten angry and frustrated where it accelerated anything. All it did was shut it down. And the more I got angry, the more quickly it shut down. But when I go into it positively, there's something that takes place that doesn't say, you're weak. It says, there's a power greater than me at work in the midst of it. And that power that's greater than me in the midst of things can even overpower Express Scripts. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you know this. You have a God that's with you, not a God that's next against you. A God that will never abandon you. A God that is preparing and moving with you right now so that before you call, he will already be answering. Because that process that's spoken in Isaiah isn't for years to come ahead. It's for now. If you walk with him, if you listen to him, if you listen to his voice. And that voice is that still, quiet voice that's within your heart. Come to the Eucharist and be fed and feed that voice. Because that will be what leads you through this life. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.